Oh yeah, welcome to another episode of the City That Never Sleeps podcast. We did it. Well, not we, but the Knicks did it. Wow. That's all I gotta say. Wow. My name is Josh, and I am joined not by my co-host Tobias. I'm not joined by my co-host Tobias in this episode again, unfortunately. But when he does come back, he's okay. Just, he's working. But when he does come back, I'm sure he will be hopefully as happy as I am. I am very, very, very happy. And not just because my favorite team signed Jalen Brunson. Their plan A worked. They got it done. But there's some other stuff as well. They got their centers for the season too. And not even that. And my voice just went super high. Not even that. But I wish I had him on. If you go back, I started this podcast with my friend Alex as a Knicks and Nets podcast. That's why we call it The City That Never Sleeps, right? Because New York City, two NBA teams in the city. Yes. Yep. Became a Knicks podcast. And you know where I'm going from here. I want him on so badly right now because it's all happening. It's ending. It's crashing and burning. And what is it? It is the Brooklyn freaking Nets. All this, we run New York City, you guys suck. I don't want it. Right now, who's having the better offseason? Who? Who? Tell me. I mean, I'd like to know. Because in my humble, non-biased opinion, I have to say it's the New York Knicks. All right. Let's get things going here because we got a lot to talk about, and I don't know if I'm going to put this in the title or not, still debating, but if it's not in the title, it's in the description. I'm going to tell you right now, I got an interview with Robin Lundberg this morning. I'm recording this Friday morning. I just wrapped up an interview with him of Sports Illustrated Now, SI Now. He's also a host on Sirius XM Radio, mainly for Mad Dog Sports. He's linked with the Nets a lot, but we talked some free agency, we talked Kevin Durant, we talked Knicks, but I'm going to talk to you all about that as well here in the intro. Then I got something special to talk about before I get to the interview. It's the month of July, and we got a very special opportunity here at the City That Never Sleeps podcast, so I'm going to get to that in a few minutes. But let's start off with Jalen Brunson. So basically one of the first reports of the day, close to 6 p.m. yesterday when free agency technically opened, was free agent Jalen Brunson intends to sign a four-year, near $110 million deal with the Knicks and free agency. Sources tell me at The Athletic the Mavericks never received chance to make an offer, sources said. That was some shams. Knicks get their point guard of the future. That's not going to lead them to a championship right now, but a solid one. They get a point guard. They need a point guard. They got one. And then later that day, Woj tweeted, a free agent guard, Jalen Brunson, has agreed to a four-year, $104 million deal with the Knicks. His agent, Aaron Mintz, and Sam Rose of CAA Basketball tell ESPN, the deal includes a player option on the final season. So even less than we intended. I thought, I said in the last episode, $110 to $120 million. No, we got him in for even less, $104 million. So that is very, very good. Brunson, again, I said it on Wednesday, if you didn't want him, we were going after him, and we were heavy favorites that even the teams that were interested took out their meetings. He was heading to New York freaking Thursday night. That's how confident he was that he was signing with the Knicks, and that's how confident we were that we were signing him. That just shows, like, I really hope this new front office, like, knows what the hell they're doing, because it really looks like it so far. And it also looks like it so far because of this. Now, obviously, the reports come in at separate times, but I assume they're on point of when they got signed. But this is big as well. This shows the confidence of the team. Free agent center Isaiah Hartenstein signs a two-year, $60 million deal with the Knicks. Sources tell The Athletic, fully guaranteed deal for Hartenstein. Shams. That was yesterday, a couple minutes after he reported that we signed Jalen Brunson. So what is Hartenstein? Who is he? Basically, he's a 24-year-old backup center. He's going to be behind Mitchell Robinson after training away Nerlens Noel. That's what we found out yesterday, or we assumed, right? Because Mitchell Robinson, at the time, was a free agent. The 24-year-old 7-footer averaged 8.3 points, 4.9 rebounds, and 22.4 assists per game last year. while shooting 46.7% from around or from 3-point range, excuse me, in 17.9 minutes per game. He's bounced around playing for the Rockets, Nuggets, Cavaliers, and Clippers, and was expected to receive interest from a lot of teams, most notably the Magic, per the New York Post. And now you look at the Knicks roster after that point. The guards, Jalen Brunson, Derrick Rose, Emmanuel Quickley, Evan Fournier, and Miles McBride. The wings, RJ Barrett, Quentin Grimes, Cam Reddish. The bigs, Julius Randle, Obi Toppin, Isaiah Hartenstein, Taj Gibson, Jericho Sims. 11 guaranteed players. At the time, like I said, Mitchell Robinson was still a free agent. Well, a perfect time for this episode. I'm glad I didn't record it last night. I know, like, I might be a little late here. I'm hoping, I'm recording this late Friday morning, hoping to get it out by Friday early afternoon. But I'm happy this happened now because this, according to Ian Begley, SNY reporter covering the Knicks, sources confirm Knicks and Mitchell Robinson have reached an agreement. Toronto had interest in Robinson, but the New York Knicks had been confident in the past few days that Robinson would be back in New York, and his agent told ESPN, 4 years, $60 million. So we signed Hartenstein yesterday, assuming that Robinson would come back, because we were confident that he would, and then we get Robinson back today. So we have our centers for at least this season, if not longer. And now with this all being said, I mean, the Knicks can still do more. They could definitely still make a trade or two, but you have to be happy in what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They're in a better situation than the Nets are right now. I'd rather have, I don't even know if it's a duo, but like I'd rather have Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle. I know I'm saying it, but then Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving. Why would you want to have two sort of head cases on your team? I know Julius Randle can be one, but Jalen Brunson, if you think about it in the way of, and Lundberg, Robin Lundberg mentions this in the interview that you're going to hear soon. He mentions this, that he's the great guy you want to sign. He has a great mentality, works in the gym all the time. And he, I think he can handle New York. Now, Randle did handle New York without fans, but once fans came back, that was a bit of a problem. Can Brunson handle New York? Can any player who comes to the Knicks handle New York? And we'll have to wait and see. But for right now, I think a really great signing, and everyone makes a lot of money. So for Brunson to get the 104 mil, I don't think that's much to worry about. I know we cleared cap space for him. If you're really nervous about those draft picks, I don't know what the draft picks mean. I know people wanted a prospect this year. They wanted to keep building off of the young guys we have. But the Knicks wanted Brunson. They got what they wanted, and the plan worked out. So there's that. Some players who actually got Supermax contracts yesterday. Devin Booker, 4 years, $214 million. Nikola Jokic, 5 years, $264 million. Zion Williamson got a rookie max of 5 years, $231 million. The guy hasn't even been on the court in like a year and a half, 2 years. Bradley Beal, maximum contract of 5 years, $251 million. And let me see. I think, honestly, How many minutes am I at here? I'm almost at 10 minutes. I don't really have much more at this very moment. Besides, they signed Hartenstein. They signed Brunson. They got those guys. Oh, let's talk about the Nets a little bit. Sorry, let's talk about the Nets. So we got Kyrie Irving not doing the sign and trade. He couldn't find a team to match. So he's signing. He's coming back with the option to the Nets. And how Shams phrased it in his tweet, saying that he's fulfilling the agreement he made with Kevin Durant to stay with the team. I don't think Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving have had much communication between the two of them, because from what happened yesterday, early afternoon, Kevin Durant requests a trade out of Brooklyn. Hell yes. Yes. Now, again, I'm going to keep alluding to it. I suck, but Robin Lundberg, he mentioned in the interview, he's like, I don't really understand why Knicks fans are so happy about the Nets' demise, like, worry about your own team. I agree with that. I think, including me, we get a little too carried away about other, like, the Nets. Maybe because we're jealous, whatever it is. I mean, it still brings joy to my heart that Kevin Durant's going to leave the Nets, you would think. I feel like it's the same thing like the Clippers and the Lakers. You would think as a Lakers fan, if the Clippers lost a big player, then wouldn't you be hyped? Same thing the other way around with the Clippers and the Lakers. I mean, it's... I think yes, Knicks fans take it a little bit too far with how excited they get. Like, worry about your own team. And we should be. Knicks fans, I'm right now, right? I'm not embarrassed. You know, I would make the school reference. Like, I wouldn't be embarrassed to wear a Knicks hat in school right now. I'm not in school. It's summer. But I'm not embarrassed to go outside wearing a Knicks hat or a Knicks shirt. I'm wearing my Knicks shirt right now, and I'm proud of it. Because what are they going to say? Okay, yeah, that we, you know, we're still a pretty bad team, but we're having a pretty good offseason right now. A day after free agency starts, I am happy with the place that the Knicks are in currently. If you're a Nets fan, not so much. And funny enough, right after Kevin Durant requests a trade out of Brooklyn, or at least becomes official, Shams tweets, Utah is trading Royce O'Neal to Brooklyn for a first-round pick. For a first-round pick for Royce O'Neal. I mean, yeah, good piece, but with Kevin Durant gone, how much is he going to do for you? But trust me, if they're looking to trade Kevin Durant, you're getting players, and you're at least getting 5 to 6 first-round picks if the Nets really want this deal. But they might even play a waiting game. They might have Kevin Durant sit out. Who knows? But this is funny to me. It's funny. As a Knicks fan, it's funny. Sorry, Nets fans. It is hilarious. their team is falling apart, and I'm not going to lie. It brings a smile to my face, and it brings me joy. The same day that they signed Brunson, too, and Hartenstein. That's when it happens. Perfect day for it. So thank you for that. Okay, we got an interview with Robin Lundberg coming up right after this. So like I said, it's July. And in July, we have, very excited to talk about this. We have a campaign with Manscaped. Yeah, I'm super excited about it. So what you can do. So support for the City That Never Sleeps podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Their products are precision engineered tools for your family jewels. Now, this is so funny because I'm with reads in general, like even in stuff we put in the outline, I'm bad with. Now, you're giving me an ad read. It's not going to go any better, but I'm trying it, okay? Manscaped's Performance Package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code SLEEPS20. All right, you got that? You want that 20% off? It's SLEEPS20. It helps them out, helps us out. So you use that code at manscaped.com. And if my math is correct, that's a lot of people. So use that code, and that's going to save a lot of people. The Performance Package 4.0 has arrived in Oman. It's a game changer. Inside the package, you're going to find that Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, the Crop Reserver ball deodorant, and the Crop Reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all of it in. First off, that Lawnmower 4.0, it is a very great trimmer. The trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. It's also waterproof. It's also got that LED light, which is perfect for, if you want to do it in the dark, have some fun. I don't know. The trimmer is waterproof, so you can say goodbye to the mess on the bathroom floor. You thought this was good, but want to take the grooming game even further. They also have the Weed Whacker, the nose and ear trimmer, which is super safe. Obviously, they have a proprietary skin safe technology, which helped reduce nicks, snags, and tugs in the delicate areas. Crop Reserver as well, the ball deodorant and Crop Reviver ball toner will change the way you approach your hygiene routine. So definitely your balls will thank you. Manscaped even threw in 2 free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxer and the travel bag as well. It's time to take care of yourself. So go to manscaped.com and get that 20% off plus the free shipping with code SLEEPS20. Again, that's SLEEPS20. Get 20% off free shipping, SLEEPS20. Unlock your confidence and always find the right tools to do the job at Manscaped. Again, that's manscaped.com, SLEEPS20. I don't know how many times I'm supposed to say it, but I think I got it enough. All right. So with that, honestly, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to get these plugs in now, and I'm going to let you listen to the interview, and then that'll be towards, you know, that'll be when the interview ends, that'll be the end of the episode. So what you can do to help support us, besides using that Sleeves20 code at manscaped.com, you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. You can go to shippastudios.com/acitythatneversleeps or City That Never Sleeps. On there, you can find out all the places to listen. Follow us on Twitter at TCTNSOfficial. I'm on Twitter at joshola29. All right, go enjoy the interview with Robin Lundberg. We are back now with a very special guest, senior host for SI Now. He's also a host on Sirius XM Radio. It's Robin Lundberg. Thank you so much for joining me on a very busy day here, coming after the beginning of free agency. How are you doing today?
You know, I had to fight with Twitter a lot yesterday, you know, given my connection with the Nets and the Kevin Durant trade, but actually pretty good, you know, all things considered. I think in a lot of ways, from the Nets perspective of things, you know, the Durant stuff is epically embarrassing, obviously, right? Like, it's a disaster, no sugarcoating, all that. But there is this, like, feeling of wanting to be over the constant drama and the ability to actually just hit refresh and reset. And some of those dudes, you know, KD's an awesome basketball player. Kyrie is unbelievably talented, but not always the best guys to root for all the time. So there is that little bit of clean slate mentality that comes with this too.
Yeah, and I mean, as you know, this is a Knicks podcast, but I actually started this with my friend Alex, and we tried to do like a, the reason it's called City That Never Sleeps is because we were like, let's do a Knicks and Nets podcast. It eventually became all Knicks, but I mean, I am going to talk to you about this because obviously, like you said, your connection with the Nets, with Kevin Durant having these 4 years left on his contract, there is so many options that the Nets can do. And obviously, like what Woj reported yesterday, they are looking for the very best deal. It doesn't matter what KD thinks. These are my two top teams. It's the Suns. It's the Heat. Nowhere else. No, you know, the Nets and Sean Marks, he can do whatever he wants. He can call up the Utah Jazz and be like, hey, I want Donovan Mitchell. What are you going to give if I give you Kevin Durant? He can call up other teams. And obviously we know that also on ESPN, they reported that Woj said that over 15 teams, half the league is interested in calling up looking for Kevin Durant. So the Nets really, I think maybe KD thinks I have the upper hand here. No, the Nets need to think about it in their way and like, no, we have control over you in a sense.
Well, look, it's a superstar driven league, which is why you can request a trade for 4 years left on your contract.
Sure.
But the Nets, there's a reality where you say, we're just not trading you. What are you going to do? Sit out for 4 years? I mean, there's a reality. I think at this point, I want both those guys off the team just because, you know, and the whole KD thing, the way this is, if you think about, look, Kyrie's his own deal. And we all know he sets situations ablaze. He's done that repeatedly. I mean, he's as skilled as anyone has ever been, but there's a pattern there. And KD's loyalty to him, to me, seems misguided, but KD also deserves some blame in this situation in the sense that he got paid the rehab the first year of the deal, didn't play. He helped pick the head coach. Obviously, they got rid of Atkinson. Steve Nash came in. He obviously handpicked his running mate in Kyrie Irving. He was in favor of the James Harden trade, pushed for the James Harden trade. That happened. He's basically had his way with the organization during the entire tenure. And now he's asking out after one playoff series win. And apparently there's reports that part of the reason is because of the Warriors winning, which feels like he's never going to escape the Warriors. The fact that he went to the Warriors in the first place and that's how he got his rings. And then when he goes to lead his own team, Steph Curry winds up winning a ring with the Warriors in the season that the Nets were the favorites going in. It does feel like that's going to haunt his career. I mean, he's always going to be a great player. I don't, you know, change my emotions. Don't make me say stupid things. Kevin Durant is a great player, but there is a little cloud you know, those old Looney Tunes cartoons where Wile E. Coyote would want a little black cloud would follow. You know, there is a little cloud, I think, that will follow KD's career a bit.
And I'll get to one more Nets question, because again, this interests me a lot, and I'm sure it does interest other Knicks fans, although they're probably listening right now, like, I'm getting to Jalen Brunson. I just want to ask that when Kyrie Irving decides, and the way Shams reported it was that Kyrie Irving is staying to fulfill what he said to KD, to stay there as friends, as that's why he went to the team. It doesn't even seem like Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving had contact between the two of them, because we have Kyrie Irving staying because he's fulfilling the request that Kevin Durant, you know, and him made the agreement. While Kevin Durant's over here going to the GM requesting a trade. Like, what is the communication between these guys right now, if there's any?
It's impossible to read, right? Can you read Kyrie Irving? Who knows what he's going to do next? Who also knows, like, what is told to these reporters to make somebody look good versus what actually happens behind the scenes? Obviously, that situation was contentious. I am surprised after everything that went on that KD would be that beholden to Kyrie in a sense. And then also from the Nets perspective, I mean, I guess you could have caved and just given Kyrie the max deal, but I do think there is a line at some point as a franchise. You have to have some self-respect as a franchise, and you have to be prepared for this scenario, which was the worst case scenario. But the one saving grace for the Nets is the contract extension that Kevin Durant signed. Because if he did not sign that contract extension, they would be looking at probably the worst situation any team has ever faced in NBA history. But because of that, they have one last chip to cash in. That's their last. They have to cash in that chip, right? But there is hope for the future because of that chip. Because I think what they can do and need to do with that chip is, one, remain competitive in the now. I'm not talking a title contender, but a playoff kind of team. And then two, stockpile future draft picks so that they can land, you know, the next franchise player a little bit down the line.
So going on now to the former Mavericks point guard, Jalen Brunson. We knew about it for the past. Well, we saw in the beginning of June that he was going to stay with the team. And then, you know, the Knicks in the NBA draft, they trade all their picks and basically trade Alec Burks and Nerlens Noel for absolutely nothing. And they even include cash in that deal. Brunson yesterday was basically the first, like, official, I want to say, move of the day. Was him intending to sign a four-year deal near $110, $20 million with the New York Knicks. It then comes out from Woj about 12 hours ago that the deal is actually 4 years, $104 million, so less than we even thought. And they get their future point guard. Now, it's not the one, and I think you tweeted this as well yesterday. You were like, yeah, I'm happy for the Knicks, right? It's not the guy that's going to lead them to the promised land. You know, they're not getting a chip because they signed Jalen Brunson, but they have their point guard, and I think it was Jonathan Macri of Knicks Film School the other day that said, when has point, like, A worked for the Knicks? Like, when is plan A, when have they gone after something and it's worked? Because remember, we celebrated the anniversary a few years ago where Zion Williamson, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, whatever, they're coming to the Knicks. No, they go to the Nets. So it actually worked this time. All those plans, all those picks, all those guys, they finally got what they wanted originally.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the criticism of this deal has been misguided in the sense that it's like misdirected angst or feelings about the team being a relatively low ceiling team. Like you kind of just mentioned, the Knicks are not hoisting any banners. I really don't see a path to that. I'm not sure. You know, you never know. But I don't know what move that they can make to get there. Right? Like when you factor in the talent on the team and the assets and the availability of other players. With that said, it's not a bad move in a vacuum. One, the price tag has been overstated. I mean, guys just get paid a lot of money. It just is what it is. What is Brunson like? The 45th highest paid player in the league right now. And he was efficient next to Luka last year. And when Luka was out, he played really well. You got to remember, this is not a diss of Luka, who's unbelievable, but Luka may be the most ball dominant player in the entire league. So I think in Brunson's case, you're looking at, oh, I have an opportunity here to prove who I am, to have the ball in my hands. The Knicks have needed a lead guard. He's probably their best player, you know, coming in the door, in my opinion. So it makes the Knicks a better team. It's the right kind of guy to bring on a team. Sure. I'm not as, you know, some of the pieces I think Knicks fans talk about, I'm not so – RJ Barrett still has to prove himself to me. I mean, there's flashes, but he was 40-34 splits, I think, last season. Mm-hmm. Julius Randle a couple years ago was more of a mirage. So there are lots of roster issues to figure out and an overall lack of talent, I would say. But this is a good signing in and of itself and improves the team. So I can't be mad at the Jalen Brunson move for the Knicks.
And now I can say this following move about a couple minutes later is very interesting now looking back at it. So they signed Isaiah Hartenstein, basically a backup center, 2 years, $16 million. He's young. He's 24 years old. He's going to be behind Mitchell Robinson, as we thought yesterday after trading away Nerlens Noel for basically nothing, as I said earlier. So you're like, all right, seems like the Knicks are confident, and perfect timing. You came on right as the Knicks have re-signed Mitchell Robinson. So Toronto, according to Ian Begley, SNY reporter for the Knicks, Knicks and Mitchell Robinson reached an agreement. Toronto had interest in Robinson, but the Knicks were confident in the past few days that he would come back, and that's what happened. So he signs a 4-year, $60 million deal to stay with the team after being drafted in 2018. So a good move for them, and obviously it seemed they were very they had their mind that set that they were going to get him back. So they even signed a backup before they even re-signed him, or at least that's what it comes out reports wise. So I think that's a pretty interesting move now looking back at it from yesterday.
It's not a huge contract. Mitchell Robinson, though, is another guy. He's had some flashes. He can block some shots.
Sure.
Doesn't much offer much offensively, fouls a lot. You know, he's another one of those players that I think sometimes when the player is homegrown, if you will, the fan base oversells them a little bit. So that I feel neither here nor there about that move, to be honest with you.
Any Supermax contracts that happened yesterday that surprised you, or you kind of expected it from Booker, Jokic, Williamson got one, Beal got one?
Yeah, I don't think any of them were surprising. I guess just because Beal has been involved in like so much rumblings for so many years now that he's committing to Washington all the way. Maybe if you'd said a year and a half ago that happened, it would have been surprising. I think mm-hmm. the way things have gone down, it's not as surprising, but in the hierarchy of which of those moves was most surprising, I would say it's probably that one. But no, I don't think any of those moves were that surprising considering the paydays those guys got and the situations that they were in.
And yeah, I mean, I think you kind of brought it up earlier with Brunson. It was from what I felt when all of these, when the reports were coming out, how much he was going to get, $110 million, $120 million. I think as kind of like one of the Nets yesterday, I think they were kind of like the laughing stock of the NBA, but it's mostly the Knicks a lot of the time. And fans were saying of other teams that it's like, we're going to get laughed at if we don't sign Brunson because we made all these moves to sign him. And then we're going to get laughed at because we do sign him. And people are going to say it's too much money for this guy who's not even a top point guard in the NBA. I just think it's a good point to make that it's like Knicks fans, don't go out there going crazy, going over to other teams and social media pages on Twitter and being like, ha, we got Brunson, like, you guys suck. Stay in your own lane. Let's see what happens throughout the season. And then you can get those bragging rights throughout the season. And if we make it to the playoffs, we make a little run, sure, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's the right kind of guy, too. It's a good move. What annoyed me the most, I guess, about Knicks fans, some of them at least, is, like, how much they celebrate the downfall of the Nets, which I get, but... Knicks fans, at some point, you should be celebrating something your own team does. You know, like, you didn't win anything. Nothing good happened for the Knicks in that regard. Right. But the Brunson deal, as representing a Knicks fan, like, feeling as a Knicks fan in the moment, I would feel good about that deal. Just because, look, I get it, title and all that. The Knicks haven't won a title since the early 70s. The Knicks have had the worst record in the NBA this century. You know, at least... they should be putting a representative product on the floor that you're not ashamed to be watching. And again, Brunson is the kind of guy that's easy to root for. I think he'll have a better season than he did with the Baltimore. I think, you know, he could be like an all-star kind of, you know, not like not an MVP kind of guy, but an all-star kind of guy. And you said it, like it, the plan A thing, nothing about this was dysfunctional. Nothing about this, you know, deserves LOL Knicks. That's just stock thing. Like when there's, the Knicks have done plenty of things that deserve LOL Knicks, but this does not deserve LOL Knicks. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like dancing in the streets parade, but it's, hey, good. You know, we got a good player who wanted to be here.
And I'll wrap it up with one more Nets question. If this is going to be a hard one, but like if you were to predict the future of what's going to happen here with Kevin Durant, is he going to sit out a year? Is he going to get traded for a bunch of first round picks? Is it going to be Donovan Mitchell? Just like leave a prediction out there, just like anything. It doesn't have to be, it can be vague, you know, it doesn't have to be.
I mean, it's so hard to predict again, because I do think he's probably gone at this point. I wouldn't completely rule out him being back once he sees that any trade would crush the roster of the team he goes to and the contract situation. Now, he, of course, picks the two number one seeds, Miami and Phoenix, as his destinations. A lot of times, stars get where they want to go. But if you're the Nets, you got to be patient here. I mean, the name, I'll just, how about I spin that and not really answer your question? Jaylen Brown is the name I've seen out there, like floated as an idea that I like the most. Scotty Barnes in Toronto. Again, the Nets need to do two things with that deal. They need to remain competitive, and they need to build for their future at the same time. But I'm just trying to think of what the Phoenix deal would actually look like, or the Miami deal would actually look like. And that's the hardest part, because I don't know if there's like a satisfactory deal from those two teams to meet what the Nets are going to want. So unfortunately, and I hope I'm wrong, I hope this comment is stricken irrelevant by the end of today, because it's a holiday weekend and I want this all over with, but I could see it dragging on a bit due to that.
Senior host of SI Now, also a host on SiriusXM Radio. You can follow Robin on Twitter at Robin Lundberg. Thanks so much for taking the time this busy Friday. Really appreciate it.
You got it, man. Have a good one. Back on track on the floor, scoring more is 94, and the Knicks are hardcore. And I'll tell you like this, we ain't never looked sharper. With Hubert, Bonner, Gray, and Harper, it's the Knicks, and we're back on pace. Everyone's gearing up for the championship race, and the fans are going crazy, and they're doing it for a reason. Because 94 is the Knickerbocker season. You better believe the Knicks got all that takes. We're shooting three-pointers, and we're running fast breaks. And if your defense makes a mistake, then bam, you ain't dunks in your face. This is a team you don't want to miss. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Go New York, go New York, go. Go New York, go New York, go. Say go New York, go New York, go. Go New York, go New York, go. Say go New York, go New York, go. Go New York, go New York, go. So you're busted. All you hear is a swish. Threes by Starks and dunks by Smith. And no rebounds. If that's the case, we put Oakley a mace in your face. We draw charges and we set picks. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Say go New York, go New York, go.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.